You're listening to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9 FM, WTGZ Tuskegee Auburn, and AM 620 WTRP LaGrange. Since 1995, Alabama's sports talk leader, Tiger Communications, proudly presents Sports Call. It's time to join our Sports Call crew as they discuss the latest headlines and happenings around Auburn and the entire sports world. To be part of the show, give us a call at 334-887-3401 locally or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9. We're taking phone calls all show long and want to talk about whatever you've got on your mind. And now, coming to you live from the loveliest village on the plains, Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Sports Call.
Welcome, Auburn, into the Tuesday edition of Sports Call, live on Tiger 95.9, the Tiger.fm, and the Tiger Communications app. My name is Ryan Lavoie, the host of the show today. I'm joined by Tom Peavy, a much shortened edition of Sports Call on this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be getting off air just a few minutes after 4 o'clock. Beauregard High School baseball in action around 4:30 today. So we have a short one today as the weather has continued to hold off for now. And so we will have only about an hour and 15 with you on this Tuesday. And there is a lot to talk about. We will review the national championship game from last night, as Connecticut did indeed make it two in a row, two national titles in a row, defeating Purdue by 15 points, another double-digit win for the UConn Huskies in tournament action. We'll talk about the latest in Auburn basketball as another player in the form of Aiden Holloway hit the portal today. We'll talk about the implications of that, update you on the status of Auburn's roster for 2024. And, of course, you might have heard the big news. It did become official apparel-wise starting in 2025 that Auburn Athletics is switching from Under Armour to Nike. And so that move is something we talked about in the last couple weeks on the show as something we believed was going to happen. I felt pretty good that it would be announced this year. Did not realize it would be this soon this year, but alas, Auburn making the move to Nike. So again, a shortened edition of the show today. A lot to talk about on this Tuesday afternoon. Ryan Lavoie and Tom Peavy with you. Tom Peavy, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Decked out in my Montgomery Biscuit stuff. So as soon as we get off the air, we'll be on the road to Montgomery to go watch opening home opener night for the Montgomery Biscuit. So I'm excited about that. National championship game last night went about as much as I expected, almost to a T of what I expected that game to go. So you got that. I'm very happy for the Nike deal. And if you go through and look at social media, a lot of former players are chiming in, and I've seen a lot of them talking about how bad some of the shoes were that they had to wear with Under Armour. A lot of former players really excited about the fact that Auburn is with Nike now. And so you'd have to imagine if former players are that excited, then the current players are probably pretty darn excited too. So you got that, and then you mentioned Aiden Holloway. I wish I could say that it was a shocker, but we really had a feeling that one of the two between Donaldson and Holloway was going to be gone, and I think we all figured it was going to be Holloway. We just didn't realize it was going to be both of them. So now the big question for Bruce Pearl and staff is, what do you do at point guard? And it's questions that will have to be answered, but yeah, doing great and ready to get going with this shortened show today.
Absolutely. So let's get to it. Let's talk just a little bit about that apparel deal. Then we got a couple phone calls already to get to the orthopedic clinic phone line again. Going to Nike, this deal starts in 2025, so there will be one more year of Under Armour, which that is the only thing that I thought might postpone an announcement for a little while, right, is just kind of the oddity that Under Armour will have to supply Auburn with apparel for the next, 16, 17 months, something like that, prior to the 2025 fall football and fall sports calendar. So it is kind of a lame duck year coming up with Under Armour and with Auburn. But again, this is certainly a move that a lot of people are excited by. You know, I was not as negative towards Under Armour as many have been, but I think that certainly the fan base at large was very excited to hear this move, and this move had been kind of in the works for quite some time.
Yeah, and the Nike thing, I don't think shocked anybody. It just seemed all the signs were pointing toward that being a Nike deal, and I'm good with it. I'm not an expert in the money situation when it comes to what Auburn is going to get or what they're losing with Under Armour as far as program notoriety. Now, the one thing I will say, and I mean, it maybe could be a detriment, and it's one thing that I had read that was going to be one of those key factors whenever discussions were being made on this, because Under Armour did not have apparel contracts with a whole lot of teams. There were some out there, but Auburn was one of just a few. And so, therefore, it felt like that Under Armour was able to allocate more time, effort, and everything towards promoting Auburn and promoting the Auburn brand as being one of the Under Armour, one of the few Under Armour teams out there. Being a Nike, you're one of a bunch that, like, darn near everybody out there, it feels like, is Nike. You know, you've got a couple that are Jordan brand. You got a few that are Adidas. You've still got a couple that are going to be Under Armour, but pretty much everybody's Nike. And so the question is, do you really get the prominent stuff from Nike? You know, are they going to, are they really going to promote that brand when they have so many other brands to promote? I don't know the inner workings of that. I think that Auburn is still such a big brand that Nike's going to go out of their way to promote that brand with that Nike on there. I think that John Cohen would not have made this deal if it was not that situation. So I'm happy with it. And like I said, I just from reading what former players have been saying, they did not like it. It mainly boiled down to the shoes. I don't think the clothing is like that big of a deal. But it really boiled down to the athletic shoes, especially the cleats. And, I mean, that's something that has been a major issue with some of the guys. Oh, and the basketball shoes. But I think a lot of those guys use various basketball shoes. I don't even think they necessarily use Under Armour shoes. I don't know. But I think with the shoe thing, that's going to be the big difference. And, you know, we'll see how it goes from there. We've discussed it before. You know, is it really going to have a major impact on recruiting? Probably not. I mean, a kid's not going to come to Auburn just because they're Nike. They're not going to go to North Carolina just because I get to wear Jordan brand. It doesn't really work like that. However, as I said in the past, when you walk into that facility, you're a kid, you're a high school kid, you walk into that facility, and if Nike does it up like they have at all these other schools, you walk in and there is a wall of Nikes of every sort of type that you could possibly imagine. And you know that you're going to get some of those, probably whatever you choose, like, you know, your pick of the litter of whatever Nikes. That's attractive to these kids, as opposed to walking in and you see a lineup of Under Armour shoes and you're like, okay, cool. You know, and Nike just has that grasp, especially for the younger kids. And so, yeah, it's not going to just like be this night and day difference in recruiting, but it is something that looks at least a little bit better when these kids show up and, you know, you get to see the Nikes that you're going to wear instead of the Under Armours. So I'll be curious to see how it goes. And then my last thing before I let you go back to talking, the one thing, just please, 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 Nike and Auburn and Cohen and Hugh Freeze or whoever, it's like, don't screw with the uniforms. That's one of the big things that people have talked about with Nike, is that Nike comes out with some crazy stuff. They come out with some really, really wild designs and everything. And, man, Auburn just has such a classic look. They're like, don't screw with that. Just, you know, go Nike, put the swish on there, keep it that nice Auburn traditional classic look. We'll see what happens as far as, like, baseball and basketball and things. But, I mean, those are, you know, the uniforms that have the traditional look to it. I don't want Nike to be just kind of, you know, start throwing – colors against the wall, and we're like, hey, whatever that design finish, we're going to put that on a uniform. It's like, nah, let's don't do that with Auburn, please.
Well, and look, they do that for some, but also remember, they also have some classic schools too, like Alabama, that they have not,
sure,
that they have not changed with. Right. So I'm not too worried about that. But yeah, 10-year deal with Nike will start July of 2025 as Auburn shifts from Under Armour to Nike. Let's go ahead and grab a phone call on the Orthopedic Clinic phone line at 334-887-3401 locally, or toll-free 1-888-9-TIGER-9. First up this afternoon,
Anthony from Auburn.
Anthony is with us. Anthony, how are you today?
Doing good. I'm enjoying a good afternoon off. Matter of fact, I'm enjoying the whole month off before I go back to work, so I'm going to enjoy all I can. You know, there's a lot going on in college basketball. There's a lot to talk about. And you got uniforms and deals and people winning games and people taking jobs. So let's start with taking jobs first. Calipari running out of Kentucky, I guess he saw the writing on the wall. Things just weren't so lovely anymore. He hadn't been having them in the games or championship games that he should have had them in years past. And, you know, Arkansas had, $8 million, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes. Arkansas, $6 million in NIL funding, and then I think the contract's going to be around $8 million or so, yeah.
You know, I was telling my brother last night, I thought he was already making something like that at Kentucky is what I would have thought, but I was wrong until we saw the numbers last night or whatnot. But, you know, Arkansas got that Walmart money, and that Tyson, guy that owns Tyson Chicken or whatnot, he's a big supporter, I just learned a few days ago. So I guess that makes the difference in that. That just goes to show you, as I was telling my brother, I said, you know, when you have deep billionaire pockets like a Walmart family and Tyson Chicken, and look at where their football program at. They're not willing to pump the money in the football program, but they'll do it for the basketball program. What do you guys think of that?
Well, you know, look, I know that football is where the ultimate potential and the ultimate finance lies, but you can make money with basketball. And if you look at Arkansas, I wonder, and maybe it's fair to agree or disagree with this, but maybe Arkansas is kind of self-aware of where they stand in the SEC in football and how difficult it has been for them to climb even into the middle most years in the SEC in football. But basketball-wise, they've had the tradition, the history to be top three in the league. They have a national title. They have six Final Fours. And so they've traditionally been one of the upper echelon SEC schools. So the room to be successful there has been, or the path to be successful there has been, a bit easier and a bit more constant for them in basketball.
Well, I can see that, and you can see that too. But still, you know, other than the oil schools like Texas A&M and Texas, I mean, you talking about Walmart money. You think about it. The four main shareholders in Walmart, I've seen every year sometimes, I just look up out of curiosity to see the billion-dollar profits they're getting. That ain't even mentioned the minor family members that get their shares too. But, I mean, those people, four or five people are the main shareholders, are getting 18 or 20 billion each over a quarter or however it was that particular year of earnings or whatnot. That's a whole lot of money for four people to have a profit like that. And then the minor shareholders are filthy rich as well. I mean, you know, that is plenty of money if you wanted to have a football program in today's time with NIL money and all that stuff going on, or buy recruits in a way you can get them. I mean, I don't see no reason why they couldn't have a program, but I guess they don't want it like that. But, you know, when you look at Kentucky, I think Bruce Pearl's name's popped up. Nate Oates' name's popped up as a potential replacement. We'll see how all that stuff works out in the days or weeks to come around. You never know. Pearl may take off. Nate Oates might take off. Kentucky's always been rich in basketball, and that was proven back in the day when Coach Bryant was given a watch and for winning the Southeastern Conference championship or whatnot and playing in Sugar Bowl. And the basketball coach got a Cadillac, so they made it clear that they didn't really care about football at that point as far as Kentucky goes. But we're going to see as far as that goes. But what I really want to mention, this apparel deal, you guys said it was 10 years?
Yeah, 10 years, starting next year.
What kind of money or cheese on the line? They mentioned that?
I have not seen the figures on that. I'm sure they'll come out soon.
Now, I've seen on social media where some people upset with it, but Nike clearly had the better clothes and shoes. But they were upset because of, you know, Kaepernick kneeling a few years ago or whatnot. And so they got to be through with Nike and can't have anything to do with them. That was the only issue they really had with it. But you think about it now, Nike, like a lot of other factories that produce merchandise like that, or any kind of textile or any kind of product they can produce in a factory, a lot of that stuff went overseas back in the day when Clinton signed that NAFTA deal. convinced all the senators and representatives and the people that that was the best thing to do, and sent all the work over there just to grease a big corporation's pockets, because, you know, labor over there, your child labor or any kind of labor, especially someplace like Mexico, you can pay somebody $1.35 an hour all day long, or pay somebody $20 for the whole week, or whatever that little money is. I mean, you know, to get all those hours out of people, no overtime pay, no kind of benefits, retirement, medical, or anything. I mean, you know, and just work people to death and make billions of dollars or whatnot. Nobody's brought that up, but I mean, that's just how things are, I guess, in that society. If that's what the laws are, that's just what they are, whether you agree with them or not. But still, the apparel is the apparel, and some people will be wearing it, and some people don't want to wear it because of this or that kind of reason or whatnot that has popped up on social media. I don't know if anybody's mentioned that other than me or whatnot, but still, I mean, that's just America. That's just what it is, the world. It's just enterprise or whatever. I mean, you know, that's just what it be, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of companies outsource that for sure, and I don't typically keep up with all that stuff. I don't have I kind of understand it to be what it is, but I've seen a few people upset with it on social media. I have seen what you've seen, but I think also still the majority opinion is this is what people wanted, and to move on to a brand that is bigger, and that again has run athletics in a lot of different forms and fashions.
You know, this opens the door for Bruce Pearl to get in those camps we talked about several years ago when I've called in and talked on the show. That he wasn't able to get in certain AAU, as they call it, up in those big states like New York and
sure.
Baltimore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now he can get in the door, because I had said then, why would you want to go to Under Armour and you're going to cut the basketball guy out of what he could be recruiting, and you then handcuff him and limit him, but yet you still want him to be the Southeastern Conference champion, and you still want him to be getting into the Final Fours and Sweet 16s, but yet you didn't limit him that way. I mean, you can't be expecting last night like that in the other schools, or where they can get in those playgrounds and get what they need or whatnot. But one other thing I wanted to mention, I've seen a lot of people say, well, you should have got the Jordan brand. I want everybody to know that can hear my voice and listen right now. Nike still owns Michael Jordan. That's a subsidiary of Nike. Jordan brand is. Nike owns the Jordan brand. He's been paid very well, very, very well, to use a Jordan name, likeness, and image. But Nike still owns the Jordan brand. So basically, Nike and Jordan pretty much, I guess you could say the same thing, like Ford and Mercury were the same, pretty much the same thing. It's like Coke and Dr. Pepper or whatnot. It might be separate some kind of way, but still, they got the hand on it. So that would be what that be. But look here, I'm going to go in this Walmart and get me some groceries, and I'm going to continue to enjoy this month. I got off from work. And then next month, I got to go back to work. So I'm going to enjoy it, and I will be calling in from time to time. We're going to see how this coaching search goes for Kentucky basketball. We'll see if Pearl will jump up and lead. Do you guys think he'll go?
I don't think it's going to be one of Kentucky's first calls either. And I think we've already seen a statement on the Alabama side of things that Nate Oates said he's not going to leave. I know people say they're not going to leave.
We've heard that before, guys.
I know. But I think Kentucky's move is probably going to be Scott Drew of Baylor, maybe Billy Donovan, who's right now with the Bulls, of course, won two titles with Florida. I think that's going to be their most likely outcomes there. I think it would take a few coaches down the line to actually get to Bruce Pearl. But, I think that Kentucky's probably – I think there's a relationship with the AD and Scott Drew, the Baylor coach, dating back a ways. And then I've also read that Kentucky had some conversations with Billy Donovan while he was at Florida, but he was just succeeding at Florida, and they ended up with Cal Perry and all that. So I think that's probably where they go first. You know, I mean, if they decline him, then they'll go down the line, and then you could see Bruce Pearl's name in that. But I personally don't think it's going to get to that point.
You know, he might do like you're saying, but I tell you right now, Bruce Pearl and Nate Oates got to be two of the hottest coaches in the Southeastern Conference right now. It got to be. I mean,
And Nate Oates certainly is, and that's why he put out that statement, because I think Nate Oates was at or near the top of Kentucky's list. I think he was going to be in conversations there, and I think that Nate was getting out in front of it. And I know we can't hold all these statements as gospel, but I'm inclined to believe them more than not believe them. So while it's not impossible, I do think that was a bit of a blow if Kentucky wanted him.
But, you know, when you look at Kentucky with that rich basketball history and the money is certainly there, you know, you got people like Pat Riley that played there back in the day and won a national championship, if I'm not mistaken, and all the other people that have come through that program winning championships. Tubby Smith coached there a while, and all the coaches they've had there that come through and won, and players, you know, that have gone on the NBA or whatnot, famous this and famous that. And, you know, years past, Kentucky just ain't been where they need to be. But, you know, Coach Nate, I don't know. You know, he might be true to his word and might not be looking to go anywhere. We'll find out. But I tell you, I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the week or first next week he done changed his mind and he done got on a jet or something, or then got in a limousine and eased on up the road somewhere. Nobody knew about it. And now he's being introduced. Either Bruce Pearl might slide out of town and be introduced. So we'll see. But don't be surprised.
Sure thing, Anthony. Appreciate you calling in and have a good time off, man.
Thank you.
That is Anthony calling from Auburn, joining us on the Orthopedic Clinic phone line. We need to hit our first break of the show today. Again, a reminder of a shortened show. Got more phone calls to get to after this timeout. We'll do that. Again, you're listening to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9.
You're listening to the multi-time Abby Award-winning Sports Call. Now, back to the multi-time Abby Award-winning Sports Call.
Welcome back to Sports Call, Tiger 95.9. Ryan Lavoie and Tom Peavy with you here on this Tuesday afternoon. Again, a shortened show, getting off air around 4:15 today. So let's head back to the Orthopedic Clinic phone line at 334-887-3401 locally, or toll-free 1-888-9-TIGER-9. Next up,
Matt from Tallahassee.
Matt is with us. Matt, how are you today?
Fine, how are you? Hey, Tom.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Fine. Hey, I was going to ask you guys, Anthony was, he took the word right out of my mouth about Bruce Pearl. I agree with you guys. I don't think they go out to Bruce Pearl. But the question I want to ask you guys, do you think they'll go out there Steve Pearl or Jerry Stackhouse for the Kentucky job?
No. Jerry Stackhouse just got fired at Vanderbilt. He's absolutely not going to go up to Kentucky. And then Stephen Pearl, I think one day in college basketball he will be a head coach, but he's not going to get one of, if not the biggest jobs in the country right out of the gate. So I don't think either one will be a candidate there.
Yeah, I don't think Bruce Pearl was, like I said, I don't think Bruce Pearl will go, because that would be, they would have to do if Bruce Pearl was going to go to Kentucky, how much would his contract be
bought
out for?
I think the buyout is $7 million. I want to say at Auburn. It's something, but it's not as much. Nate Oates, for example, is $18 million at Alabama. So I think it would be doable. I think the deal there is Bruce Pearl is just being older. I do think the value might be a little bit lower for Kentucky. And then on Bruce Pearl's side of things, he said many times he wants Stephen Pearl to be the next head coach at Auburn, to follow him. And if he ends up going to someplace like Kentucky, I simply don't know if he can build a resume there and do well enough, quick enough, long enough to be able to guarantee that Stephen gets the job right after him. So I think that Auburn makes that still the situation for him. I do think he truly loves it here. Yes, of course, it's Kentucky and it's huge, but I think both sides are probably just not a perfect match.
Well, another thing, I agree with Anthony. The University of Kentucky should do, with money with football. Like I said, I used to live in Kentucky, so I know all about Kentucky. All they care about is basketball. That's all they care about.
Sure.
They don't care about football. They don't care about baseball. They kind of usually care about a little bit of softball, but not football. But like I'm saying, go after Rick Pitino. But I don't think they would get him, because he got in trouble when he was at Louisville.
Right.
But I think Bruce Pearl 63. I think he has what, 3 more years, 4 more years at Auburn.
Yeah, I think that would when the window might open for me is he just turned 64 in March. I think that he's probably somewhere 4 to 6 to 7 more years in coaching. I mean, he could go more towards 10 there, but it depends on what his motivation level is, depends on exactly what he wants to do. But again, I think the window could open for him to retire in just a few years, and he could go up to another 10 or so. We'll just see.
But he's at Auburn for 10 years right now.
Yes, since 2014. Yep.
Okay. All right, well, I know you guys have a short, I know I don't have time for a trivia this week, but I would do Monday. Tom, did your girlfriend ever find any trivia questions?
I'll try to get some. We don't have any yet, but we'll try to make that happen.
Okay, I'll try next Monday. I'm just kind of disappointed that A didn't transfer. I wish he had stayed. But who do you guys think he'll be a starting point guard for Auburn, probably?
Well, I mean, you've got a true freshman point guard coming in that could potentially play point guard or move somewhere else. Denver Jones could they had him playing some at point, so Denver Jones is a possibility. And then you've got the kid from Furman.
Yeah, J.P. Pegues.
J.P. Pegues,
yep.
Is a point guard that they've been trying to get out of the transfer portal. So that's a possibility. They've got some options out there. I mean, it stinks anytime you lose a player. But, you know, I think that staff had an idea that some of this may be happening, and I think they've been preparing for it.
Well, last question, and I know you guys have a short show, but do you guys see any of the walk-ons for Auburn basketball as point guards?
Not as viable rotation guys.
You know what I'm talking about, the one to play with, the guys who play with Berman. Most of those guys were point guards, right?
Yeah, one or two of them were, but again, you're not looking for walk-ons to replace guys in the rotation.
But the one of the senior, he can play next year, right? The one that got the scholarship, the senior.
Jalen Harper, maybe, or Sabara, or someone.
He was a walk-on. Well, he played with Berman. I forgot what number he was. I think he was number 20. I think it was 14 or number 20-something. Do you see any of the walk-ons coming back?
I mean, I think some of them will be back. Now, whether they get a lot of playing time, I doubt that. But, I mean, a lot of those guys will probably be back.
And number 14, he'll probably be back, right?
Yeah, no idea at this time. Yeah, We're still trying to figure out all the scholarship guys that are going to be coming back.
But when's Auburn's next baseball game? Do you guys know?
Should be tonight. They've got a midweek game. I know they've got their next SEC series is against Kentucky this weekend in Plainsman Park. But, yeah, I believe baseball should be back in action tonight. They've got Alabama State at Plainsman Park.
Yeah, they're not doing so good. I heard they're dead last.
Yeah, their pitching staff is struggling right now, big time.
Well, like I said, my time, and stuff, I know you guys have more calls, but I got a swim meet coming up this Friday, so wish me good luck. I need all the luck I need and stuff like that, and then I got state in May.
Well, good luck with that, Matt. We hope you do very well this Friday.
Yeah, and tell Ward and Steve, if he's on the line, or James. Tell Jane I cannot listen to heavy metal and stuff like that. I listen to country music. That gets me kind of motion and stuff like that for me. And stuff, but heavy metal's out and stuff like that. So, James, if you're listening to heavy metal, it's not my kind of music.
We will let him know.
All right, where are you guys?
Where are you, Matt? Appreciate that phone call. That is Matt from Tallahassee. Matt for Auburn joining us on the Orthopedic Clinic phone line. We are going to head to our next timeout on the other side of this break. More of your phone calls on the Orthopedic Clinic phone line. Again, remember, getting off air around 4:15 today. The number is 334-887-3401 locally or toll-free 1-888-9-TIGER-9. Sports Call returns after this timeout.
time out. Sports Call will be back after this quick break.
Now back to Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Sports Call.
Welcome back to Sports Call, Tiger 95.9, the Tiger.fm, the Tiger Communications app, or if you listen after the fact on the Sports Call podcast presented by Coca-Cola, available wherever you may get your podcast. And Ryan Lavoie, Tom Peavy with you here today, a shortened edition of Sports Call getting off air right around 4:10, 4:15 this afternoon. Let's head back to the Orthopedic Clinic phone line at 334-887-3401 locally or toll-free 1-888-9-TIGER-9. Next up,
War Dam Steve.
Retired War Dam Steve is with us. Steve, how are you this afternoon?
Hey, I'm doing good, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my phone call as always. Let's see, it's you. It's Tom. Who else?
That's it.
That's it. Just us.
That's it?
The two okay, horsemen.
Two eagles. Well, let's get at it, guys. Mr. Aiden Hall. We hardly knew you.
Yeah.
Hardly knew you. I did not expect both of them to leave, guys. I was taken aback by that. Were you guys taken aback by both of them leaving?
I think that, again, with what Tom was saying earlier, definitely thought one would. If you listen to Justin Hokanson, he was very adamant all offseason long, all these last 3 weeks, that Aiden Holloway would be leaving. Or that it was trending in that direction. So when Donaldson hit the portal, I personally felt that they were both going to end up in the portal because I thought Holloway's decision was not really dependent on Trey Donaldson's decision. So I thought that was a very real possibility once that happened. And again, I thought Holloway was always the more likely one. So this one in a bottle is not surprising. It is in totality surprising because they both left. And leaves Auburn with portal questions they must answer.
So when Justin Hokanson made those comments, I guess it was on social media, like Twitter or what?
Social media, but also he put it on the boards, and I don't know if he did full write-ups on it, but I know he put it on some of the message board stuff for the On3 subscribers, and he definitely been talking about it on social media. I believe you referenced one of his writings at some point, too.
Yeah. Did he give any further explanation or evidence as to what had him believing that scenario?
Yeah, he had been reporting all along that he said that Holloway had never been in communication with the coaches since the season, and he had not been working out the practice facility. He had not been having conversations with the coaches. So that tends to not be a good sign for a player that does have a decision to make.
Right. I guess I asked the wrong question. I mean, like, what maybe led to this kind of decision by both of them, by Trey and Aiden? Does anyone have any thoughts on that?
Again, Trey's, as we talked about last week, it was NIL. Yeah. Holloway's, I'm not as sure about. I will need to see what some of the beat guys have written today or if it's included in any of that. I would speculate that he was probably, maybe not valued the way he wanted to be from Auburn, whether that either be because Auburn was looking at other portal guards already or whether he felt that he was not developed the way he wanted to be this year or something. I don't know. I think those are all possibilities. I think that, of course, he was not going to be guaranteed the starting job next year because of what Auburn was doing in the portal. Maybe it was that. There's a few different possibilities there.
Okay. All right. So real quickly, guys, I'm sure you watch a game. I've watched a game last night. I was really I'm glad that UConn won. I thought they have been the best team. And finally, because it didn't always happen that way, the better team actually did win and won convincingly. And at first, it was a, back-and-forth kind of game the first half. But the second half, I guess they just wore out Mr. Edey, right?
Yeah, and we've not gotten to break it down yet, but I think that what UConn did very well and what Purdue did poorly is made one guy try to be the whole offense. And I know Zach Edey's awesome, but he had 37 points, 10 rebounds. In a vacuum.
Was it 37?
Yeah.
I thought it was more than that.
Yeah, 37. And in a vacuum, that's again amazing. That's still even well over his already hefty average of scoring. But the problem was is that that's all Purdue decided to do. That's all they could do. They did not run offense for their guards. And there's a stat from this game that I was going to bring up, but I'll go ahead and bring up now. That I can't recall seeing it. I'm sure it's happened. But only one Purdue player, now he did have eight, but only one Purdue player had an assist. And what that tells me is that they were not sharing the basketball. They were not running offense for others. They had one plan and one plan only, and that was to get it to Zach Edey and let everything be run through Zach Edey. And you can't do that and win the national championship through one guy. That's the whole reason I thought they were better this year and why they got to this point is because, yeah, Edey was dominant, maybe even more so than last year, but their guards around him had stepped up and that they were not so reliant every single game on Edey. That, yes, he could be a menace and he could destroy the opponent, but the guards could be a part of that. And the guards were not at all a part of anything that they were doing offensively last night.
And yet, you look at UConn, and because I read comes from Phil Marshall and then from ESPN, but between UConn and Purdue last night, between those two teams, there's only one five-star player.
Yeah.
And UConn even had to, I think, replace three or four of their players from last year, right?
Yes. Yeah, they did. Yeah.
And they're from transfer portals, because I remember saying yesterday, I think two of them have been playing for 3 years previously for some other teams, right?
Yeah, like Cam Spencer came from Rutgers, who, and before that was at Loyola Maryland, and Spencer was awesome all year. You know, I think that they had, I think Caravan was a transfer too. I'm going to double check that. No, he's only been at UConn, but they
had Newton.
Tristan Newton. I know he was the most outstanding player last year, too, of the Final Four. Yeah, he did start at East Carolina, so fifth-year player now, but he was at UConn last year, too. So they got him for last year, and he stuck around this year and was a big factor. So, yeah, a couple portal guys there, a couple of guys that they had. I know Castle was a freshman for him. But yeah, they did it. They did it with both. They did it with both portal and their own guys.
Okay, so with all that said, guys, I read some comments from Phil Marsh today and some other players. You know, I didn't think that I'd come to actually even say this out loud. I've been good times thinking it. And, you know, you've heard me, guys, you know, get real passionate, you know, and then joke about it, you know, using medications. But I'm slowly starting to really just lose my passion, guys. For college sports and strictly Auburn sports in general, and I say that with a great deal of disappointment, because you know it's getting pretty obvious now that you know when I went to Auburn as a student and then later on as a fan, and my son and daughter went there, you know, we had a passion because we had an investment in that university. You know, and we go to games. We actually went to Tiger Walk, of course. Knew a lot of players in terms of getting their autographs. You know, and we also knew that these people, you know, wanted to play for Auburn. You know, and I'm coming to realization there are going to be many people like Tequil Spikes, who just got the award for being on Auburn's trail. He said how much he loved Auburn. The Pat Sullivans, the Terry Beasleys. I suspect those kind of people were not going to be the players that I used to enjoy watching and seeing them develop, because it's becoming more apparent to me, and I'm going to hear your comments, guys, that those days are gone, that we're just going to be seeing players who are wearing all of the jersey year in to year out, and I'm just going to be wondering, well, I wonder who's going to be wearing all of the jerseys next year, be it basketball or be it football. Maybe not so much in baseball. In fact, I don't hear very much of people entering the transfer portal for baseball. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, this has all come about and just completely, for me, damaged at least my experience of being a college football fan with the unlimited transfer portals and the NIL. But as Phil Marshall said in his column, his final thoughts, he says, the current no-rules landscape of college basketball and football cannot last. Even very wealthy people grow tired of giving their money away. And in such a system, if you even want to call it a system, it never would work in the NFL or NBA, much less in college sports. And with that said, guys, it's my conclusion that those universities with the most billionaires and the richest alumni on their boards and their fans are to be the ones that do the best. And it saddens me to even feel this way, but I'm getting to the point where, you know, it's not going to be, you know, just making me not want to sleep if Auburn loses a damn football game like it used to, because I don't see that these players really care as much as I care as a fan that they lost to Alabama or they lost to any particular team like it used to mean. Your thoughts, guys?
All right, well, so I was right with you with things that you were saying until right there at the very end. I wholeheartedly disagree with what you say at the end. The players that play for Auburn, while it may be different than from the past, you know, but there's a lot of NIL money, there's a lot of pro prospects, there's a lot of this, that, and the other going on. I get it. There is that. However, they still want to win. And when you're at Auburn, you don't like Alabama, and that is just ingrained in you. The other thing is, these kids,
minute,
Steve, you just talked for 20 minutes straight. Let me talk. These kids love Auburn when they're here playing for Auburn. They are on the campus. They are around the students. They hang out with the other students. They become part of Auburn. They don't like Alabama. They don't like Georgia. They don't like LSU. They don't like the team that is facing them because it's a competition, and they feel terrible when they lose. So I wholeheartedly disagree with that. They don't care if they lose. No, they care very, very, very much about that. Now, I will agree with you because I have said this on the show before. The times have changed. You don't have as many guys that are full-on dedicated to one school for the pure love of that school because that's who they grew up watching. That's who they dreamed of playing for. And by God, I'm going to be there for my entire career. And the thought of even going anywhere else is just not even something that even crosses your mind. Yeah, those times used to happen. I get it. But that was also at a time, you know, when Auburn was recruiting mostly in-state. You'd have some guys from out of state, you know, but it was a lot of in-state guys. It was a lot of more localized guys. And, yeah, but those things, you know, those times are gone. You don't have as much guys that are just dedicated to staying here. You know, they will jump at the first big NIL opportunity that comes if it's bigger than what you're getting here or wherever else you're at. There's guys that do that. The first moment that their draft stock is up just a tick from, you know, they're gone as, you know, chasing those dollar bills. That's today's sports. But to say that they don't care if they lose is absurd, Steve. You can go in the locker room after a loss, and these are big burly men that are in absolute tears over losing a game. So you can't tell me they don't care. They care actually probably more than we do because they're the ones out there sacrificing the blood, sweat, and the tears to do it. We just sit in the stands or sit in front of a TV, and the only thing that we have to deal with is Joe Blow at work the next day or Susie May walking down the street wearing her Alabama stuff and getting some jawjacking. These are the guys that just busted their ass on the field and got beat. You can't tell me they don't care.
Okay, I probably misspoke there when I said, yeah, I know they care if they win or lose. What I mean is, though, they don't have the history, if they're only there for one year, like Aiden Holloway, to have the kind of passion, okay, and angst over losing to damn Alabama, because what history do they have? 1 year was I went to four damn years at Auburn. That's what I mean. So it means a lot more for me and being a fan of my team that goes up there in the Iron Bowl and wants to beat the crap out of Alabama. That's what I mean. Yeah, they can't. They don't want to lose, but to them, it's probably if they've only been there a year, then they leave. Then what I mean, they don't have the history to have that kind of passion like I do, and my son and daughter do, and other fans who attended Auburn as students and as fans. That's what I meant.
I don't think passion is exclusive to how long something is spent, though. I mean, I think that it can be that at times, but you can find something new that you become incredibly passionate about from the word go. Like, you can fall in love with something quickly. Sometimes your love for something can deepen over time, but sometimes it doesn't have to be that way. So, and I would say, look, I've been in these locker rooms too, as of late, after losses. In these press conferences and that sort of thing, the mood after the team loses stinks. Like there's no one in there is happy. No one's like, hey, what are you going to do tonight? Can't wait to do this and that, and that. Everyone is very, very down on it. And when they win, you should hear the locker room. That you can't even hear the coach speak in the press conference because they're blaring music so excited that they won. So, again, I understand the point you're trying to make in timeliness, meaning, equating to more of something. But that's not always the case, and that's not – always true. It might be for some, but not for others.
Yeah. Steve, loyalty. Okay. Loyalty is what I couldn't. The word loyalty was not popping into my head. Right in today's times, it's hard to find guys that are going to be full on loyal to the school, and even some that are that have grown up. Let's take Bo Nix for example. He didn't even finish here. He ended up going to Oregon. That was about as more of most of a loyal kid to Auburn University as you could imagine. I mean, the kid grew up an Auburn fan. There's videos of him in all of his Auburn gear. He's been coming to Auburn games since he could walk. He has dreamed of playing at Auburn, and things didn't work out, and he ended up going to Oregon for whatever his reasons were. But I don't think that changed his loyalty from Auburn. Now, you will have some other guys. I don't know Aiden Holloway personally. I don't know his background. Aiden Holloway may not be one of those guys that's necessarily loyal to Auburn. He may be chasing that next thing. He may be chasing, whatever is out there in front of him. I don't know if that's the case, but you're going to have some of that. You have to take the sum with the rest. I mean, and understand that it's not all unloyal dirt bags that are looking for the next great thing. You're going to have some that have no loyalty towards Auburn, but you're also going to have a bunch that bleed orange and blue, and they will bleed orange and blue until the day they die, no matter whether they finish their career here or move on somewhere else. And that's just how Auburn is.
Yeah, we've got to end the hour here,
Steve. Fair enough, yeah. And that's fair enough. Maybe what continues. Everything you said had merit. I'm just saying there are probably less and less of those passionate bleeding Auburn, orange and blue players, because many of them, I suspect, haven't grown up like I did, maybe you guys did, of being, made fun of when the Iron Bowl was lost by Auburn, to Alabama. They don't get that experience, so they don't know what I'm saying. They don't then understand and grasp, man, it really sucks when that other damn team beats us in the Iron Bowl. That's what I was going at. Because if you're only there for 1 year and you're a hired hand and you're just putting on an Auburn jersey, then that's quite different from growing up and having to experience the teasing, the jabs, the condescensions, because you're not from the other, you're for the other team. That's what I was getting at. All right, thank you guys for my long tirade there. And anyway, you appreciate it. Everything you had merit, and I hope I'm wrong. But we'll find out. But to me, NIL and transfer portal has ruined a lot of things I used to look forward to in college sports. Have a safe afternoon, guys. Talk again tomorrow. War Eagle.
War Eagle, Steve. Appreciate that phone call. That is retired Ward EMC on the Orthopedic Clinic phone line. We are out of time for hour number one. Coming back for just one final segment before Beauregard High School baseball this afternoon. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Sports Call on Tiger 95.9.
Yeah.
1 hour of our show is in the books. We've got more to come. Stay tuned for another hour of Sports Call right after the break. You're listening to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9 FM, WTGZ Tuskegee Auburn, and AM 620 WTRP LaGrange. Since 1995, Alabama's sports talk leader, Tiger Communications, proudly presents Sports Call. It's time to join our Sports Call crew as they discuss the latest headlines and happenings around Auburn and the entire sports world. To be part of the show, give us a call at 334-887-3401 locally or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9. We're taking phone calls all show long and want to talk about whatever you've got on your mind. And now, coming to you live from the loveliest village on the plains, Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Sports Call.
Final few minutes of the show today. Sports Call on this Tuesday afternoon. Tiger 95.9, Ryan Lavoie and Tom Peavy with you again. Beauregard High School baseball coming up at 4:30, so we are getting off air here in about 10 minutes. Appreciate all of our callers there in hour number one. We'll be back to a full show tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be a fun one. We'll have a lot of this to kind of hit a little bit harder. Tomorrow afternoon should have Justin Ferguson on tomorrow, and also a Wacky Wednesday tomorrow afternoon.
Can't wait for that.
So we're excited about that one for sure. So, again, with the time we have left before we get to the TV guide, of course, significant Auburn basketball news that Aiden Holloway did hit the transfer portal. That was brought up by Steve and Matt in the first hour. But talk a little bit more on that here. Again, Trey Dawson already in the portal. Aiden Holloway joins him. Still only know officially of one returnee, and that is Chad Baker Mazzara. And we know that J.P. Begees of Furman has been in here to visit. Rice of Washington State has been a target. I would imagine that this would open up the need to maybe have some more visits with potential portal guards. And look, guys still adding to the portal all the time. Duke saw a player hit the portal today. North Carolina saw a player hit the portal today. So we are not at all done with all the portal entries. And, of course, Auburn guys still have to make decisions too. But Holloway going does leave now a clear void at point guard, and Auburn has to say goodbye to its five-star freshman, who I know had a rocky year, but still was a freshman, and nevertheless lose both their point guards from this year.
Yeah, and I mean, just kind of rehashing what we talked about, is that the shocking thing is not that Aiden is leaving, because, as you mentioned, that seemed like that was going to happen. I mean, that's not a surprise. Losing both Donaldson and Aiden is a big deal. But it feels like that this staff was kind of preparing for that, or the possibility of that. That's why they were bringing in Pegues as a point guard from Furman to, taking a serious look at him. You've still got Todd Pettiford coming in, who is listed as a point guard, but I think a lot of people figure that he could probably play the two.
So Bruce spoke on that last week and said that his plan is to be a two, let him score. So, yeah. I mean, it's someone that they might develop either way, but I think the initial plan at least was to play more at two than at one.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, was that, you know, well, I guess that would have been after Trey had already announced, and I'm sure they already knew Aiden, so maybe Todd's not even in the picture for point guard unless they want to develop. Again, I mentioned Denver Jones.
Sure.
Denver Jones is a guy that played some point guard this year. Maybe that's something that they're looking at. But then, you know, Pegues, you know, taking just such a strong look at Pegues, there's a reason for that. And so I think Auburn's going to be fine. I mean, golly, I don't mean this like dogging on Donaldson and Trey, but I mean, really, I mean, if you look at the weakness of this team, it was at that position. And while they were good, they weren't great. They were definitely not to the level of some of the point guards that we have seen here at Auburn. And so I think Auburn can actually better themselves with that. You hate to see the guys leave, especially Donaldson. I thought Donaldson, the sky was the limit for him. I really thought, but you know, you kind of take what you got, and and move on from it. But I think Auburn can actually better themselves in that point guard position and in the guard position as a whole, with who they're bringing in and the potential of bringing some guys in. So, yeah, while it stinks to see a guy leave, I think they'll be all right. And then when you're looking at Holloway, and big question I think a lot of people are asking, where do you think he might go? And you obviously don't know. I don't know the whole reasons behind him leaving, if it's NIL, if it's he just didn't like the game plans here, he didn't like his playing time here. I don't know. I'm not Aiden Holloway, and I'm not in his head. He's from Charlotte, North Carolina. Perhaps he starts looking somewhere in those Carolinas or in somewhere up in that area. Maybe, get closer back to home. That's always a potential. That's the other thing. When you have a true freshman like that, it comes this far away from home. There may have been some homesickness get involved in that, and he just didn't feel comfortable being that far away from home. There's some guys that can go all the way across the country and play and be perfectly happy, but there's some that can't even get one state away and be comfortable. So, we'll see what happens with him. But, for Auburn, you move on, you reload, and get ready for the next year and try to make yourself even better at that position despite losing those two players.
I think two things can be true at once here. One, I think Auburn will end up getting a quality portal guard, and sure, the position will be as good or better next season.
Right.
However, I think the other thing that's true is that these two guys still had a load of college potential.
Yeah.
They were still underclassmen this year.
Yep.
And that one day they could end up being excellent college point guards. And so I think that it's still disappointing from the standpoint of I see a world where Trey Donaldson's like a 12-5-5 guy in college. I see a world where Aiden Holloway is a 15-point-a-game scorer that does shoot 40% from three in college. And those end up being really good college basketball players. And again, as I've been on the train here late, Auburn has not been able to see through and develop a point guard really since Jared Harper. They did have Sharif Cooper for a year.
Barely.
Half a year.
Yeah,
half a year. And he was a big-time deal. But if you're looking at Davion Mitchell, he saw better days at Baylor. If you're looking at Turbo Jones, just kind of not the college player you thought he'd be. Now you're looking at Aiden Holloway, a five-star moving on. You're looking at Trey Donaldson, a three-star, but was producing moving on. And so, again, I it's the trend of college basketball to a degree. You see a lot of players change hands. I get it. And that's also why I figure, and Auburn's got done a really good job of this the last couple of years, they're going to get a portal guy that's going to help them a lot, and it's going to be a quality guy. I do trust that. But there is something, too, when these teams are getting older, and I think a lot of these – coaches are trying to seek that now, older teams, there's still something to be said that the true one of one, the thing that you would love the most, is an old team that has played together for a long period of time that is yours. And so, I think that part of it is regrettable. And again, I do think that these guys, Aiden and Trey, will end up being really good college players. We'll see where they go. Unlike KD could end up, he could end up at Georgia State. He could end up in Timbuktu. I don't know.
Right.
But I think that Holloway and Donaldson will probably still be in major college basketball. One or both could still be in this league. They could go to the ACC, Big 12, whatever. So, you have to tread carefully what you end up doing here and what ends up happening. But, this one, as you said, to summarize it, we were hearing from almost day one Aiden was very potentially going to the portal. But it's the combination of losing both, that makes it regrettable. Because there was times this year, too, where we would debate on the show who was playing better, who was the better option at that moment, and all that sort of thing. You didn't want the debate to be who you're going to miss more.
Right.
You just wanted to be the debate who would develop more. And so that conversation having to change a little bit definitely disappointed. Yeah.
The big thing, with these guys at point guard, wherever they go, the one thing that if you're Auburn, you don't want one of those guys to turn into Mark Sears, and all of a sudden you're just like, holy crap.
Yeah.
It's like, man.
And I feel, maybe not Sears, but I feel that is in play for one of these, at least one of these guys, of being, again, a big-time college basketball player. I've seen some stuff. People are going to put on social media whatever they want to put on there, but I've seen some stuff. You're going to miss Aiden Holloway. He shot 32% this year, 7 points a game. He's a freshman, okay? And, again, I will not bore people for the 10th time today on that. We don't have time. I cannot tell you how many successful college guards that are small shoot in the low to mid 30s as a freshman and end up scoring 15, 16, 17 a game as a junior and senior. Yeah. I cannot tell you how many times that happens. So it is still, we'll see again. And I think Auburn will get someone good in here, but Auburn has lost a couple of guys that I do think will end up being pretty darn good in college basketball one day. Only a minute or so left in this shortened edition of the show. Time for Nightly TV Guide.
Our show is about to end, but we've got you covered on entertainment for the evening. Here's Sports Call's Nightly TV Guide.
Sports Call's Nightly TV Guide is presented by White Claw Hard Seltzer. Getting to be crunch time in the National Hockey League, National Basketball Association final week or so before the playoffs in the National Hockey League, 6 o'clock on ESPN. It is the Washington Capitals, the Detroit Red Wings, again, 6 o'clock on ESPN. You got some Braves baseball, 620 Bally Sports South. Braves try to even up the series with the Mets after a tight loss last night. You've got college softball, 6 o'clock on the SEC Network Plus. Our friend J.J. Jackson on the call from Jane B. Moore Field. Auburn takes on UAB. And 6 o'clock on the SEC Network in baseball, Auburn baseball takes on Alabama State over at Plainsman Park. One movie pick for you tonight, 6 o'clock on FX. It is Spider-Man No Way Home. And that is Sports Call's Nightly TV Guide presented by White Claw Hard Seltzer. That will do it for this shortened edition of the program today. Tom Peavy, thank you for being here. Enjoy your Montgomery biscuits tonight.
Yes, sir.
And we'll see you again tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks.
Again, that does it for the show today. Reminder, Borgard High School baseball coming up in just a few short minutes here on Tiger 95.9. Smith Station softball coming up in a few minutes on FM Talk 93.9. That does it for the show today. As always, we appreciate all those that tuned in and called in. For Tom Peavy, my name is Ryan LaVoy. Have a great Tuesday night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.